Okay, we're up to page 152. On page 152, Simin Resh Ayin Dalid Ois Hey. We're up to Ois Hey. We're learning the laws of Sivatah. We'll just try to run very quickly again. Just a general appreciation of some of these halachas that we don't ordinarily come in contact with. Ois Hey. V'chos Sav Rabbeinu Abbeis Seisev V'Simin Deis Sarach Shiyel L'fonav Sefer Achar Shayatik Mimenu Sh'os L'chtoiv Ois Achas Shloimin Aksaf. You're not allowed to write in the Sefer Torah unless you have a guide. You're not allowed to write Baal Peh. V'tzach sheyikra another halacha, you have to read. The Sefer, before he puts down, anyone people don't know, realize this, before they put down the words on the parchment, they're obligated to first, zontai, to actually say the word. It's interesting, when you get the honor of putting a dot in the Sefer Torah, I never saw the Sefer tell you to say the letter or to say the word.
Maybe he does it.
Could be. Maybe you're right. But it's interesting. This is a requirement. V'tzach sheyikra kol teva kodem sheikh tevena v'ad kal l'shon v'harbi kol ar sharikach chasav Moshe Rabbeinu etz ha-toyra b'pi ha-gvura she'akadosh baruch hu oimer Moshe oimer v'koisev. Moshe, it says in the Medrash, Moshe was oimer v'koisev. When Hashem gave the Torah, Moshe repeated word after word after Hashem, and he wrote it down. V'hik sholof. What's the question? Did or Chaim Simon Amabeitz Gavi Tefillin Kasa B'Simon Chavtes Im Eina Parshas Shuguros B'Fifth Tzach Shiyichtoyv Mitach Ksav B'Simon Lamed Alf Kasaf Im Eina Koisev Mitach Ksav Lo Yichtav Al Peh. If you then Lo Yichtav Al Peh Shemakra Oisay Acher El Imkein Yach Zohu V'Yikur B'Piv Adkan L'Shaynoi. If you're not writing it Al Peh, someone is reading it to you. Then when someone reads the words to you, then you have to repeat. If that's Mashm Mavura Lehedya the Dafka. The only time you have to say the words is only when you do not have a guide. You do not have a tikkun soifrim in front of you. Then someone is telling you vayidaber. Write vayidaber. So then you have to say vayidaber. But if you have in front of you an actual guide, it's mashma mavur lehedin the dafka kishayin koisim b'toch aksav b'chuy v'hu lachsel l'kos b'fif. Aval kishakoisim b'toch aksav ain't soch l'kos b'fif. V'loma posa kan d'gam koisim b'toch aksav soch l'kos b'fif. So therefore we have a contradiction to what it says here in Yoredeya to what it says in Orachayim. In Yoredeya here it says that no matter what, when you write a Sefer Torah, you have to say the words before you put them on the parchment. Whereas in Orachayim, when it talks about Tefillin, it's Mashma, that if you have in front of you a guide and you're copying letter by letter, you do not need to say the words before you put the words on the parchment. So how do we reconcile this contradiction? So we have a stira. So it gives an amazing answer. When it comes to tefillin, the sefer does not need to say the words before he puts them on the parchment. But when it comes to a Sefer Torah and a Megillah, I'm assuming a Mezuzah as well, you have to. V'lo yodati ha'efrish bein zeh lozeh v'tzorech in Aruch HaShulchan says, I don't understand why there should be a difference. Tefillin, you don't need to say the words. Sefer Torah, you do need to say the words. That's the only way we can reconcile this contradiction. I don't need.
What's it talking about? Someone knows the
parchment by heart? Someone either you know it by heart or someone's reading it to you. You don't have
the one who's reading to you is reading from what?
Is reading either by heart, doesn't say how he's reading it to you. Someone is telling you the words and you do not have in front of you the words and you're listening to him, so before you put the words in the piece of parchment you have to say the words. And that's mashma, that if someone is not reading it to you.
It has to be reading, not orally, not the person that.
Okay, whatever it is, if someone is reciting, the point is the implication, not the halacha. Someone is reading to you the words, then you are obligated to repeat and put the words on the paper, which implies, if someone is not reading it to me, but I have in front of me a chumash, I have a text, and I copy mila b'mila, the implication is I do not need to first recite the words before I put the words on the piece of parchment.
Because someone reads it to you, the spelling can be wrong, but if you see it...
Okay, so but the point is the implication. The point is the implication. when someone reads, I must. But when someone is not reading to me, I'm copying. I have in front of me a text. I copy from here to here. I do not need to repeat the words. In Yoredeya, it says, you must repeat the words. I'm copying from here to here. Before I put the words on the parchment, I must read the words. I must read what I'm about to put on the piece of paper, on the parchment. This is a contradiction.
So, in Yoredeya, it's because Moshe Rabbeinu did that?
No, that's the question. What's the difference? The only answer he says is in Yoredeya, we're learning Yoredeya now, we're learning Yoredeya, this is a Sefer Torah. Whereas in the other place, in Archaim, in Siman Lamed Beis, we're discussing Tefillin. So there's a difference. When you're writing Tefillin, you don't have to repeat the words. But when you're writing a Sefer Torah, you do have to repeat the words. Aruch HaShulchan says, why? What's the difference? What is the difference between Tefillin? It's all the same Torah. It's all the same concepts. We learn that one from the other. Why should there be a difference? And he concludes, I don't know. I don't know the answer to this contradiction. Tzoruch im. Oizvav. V'nir l'niastayti, ul'niastayti nir, de'im gam betfilin kein af hu, sha'af im koisev mitoach aksav tzoruch shim befev, kol teva koidim kisivasoi, midmutzin l'moishah rabbeinu shosu kein akav pichu, etz lo'echo yo kemin aksav, shem yirosu shal kashbiruch havi kemin aksav. When Hashem spoke, that's as good, equivalent to actually seeing the words on a piece of paper. The im kol zeh hutzrach Moshe lachzor v'loimar. He still was required to put the words on paper.
No, to say it.
To say it. V'zeh shekosav b'simin lamed aleph. The im ene koseh mitoch haksav lo yichlev al peh. If you're not writing mitoch haksav, you should not do it al peh. Shemakri osoy acher. Elim, unless you go and you repeat the words. Hochi perusha. Maybe this is what it means. Deloy neimo, do not say the kriyosa shel ha'acher. Someone here has said that before. That the reading of someone else should count as my reading. If someone is reading it, if someone is reading the words to me, their reading is like I'm reading it. It's kriyosa la'acher ha'avik kriyas atzmai. Ela the inyan. The dafka kriyas ella be'inam, we require the dafka kriyas atzmo. Don't make that mistake and think that when someone reads, it's like my reading. You have to read yourself. But it's a given. In other words, what it says over there is don't make any implication. I think what the Aruch HaShulchan is trying to say is that in similar days, you have to read it, you have to say it yourself. And all it means there in Shulchan Aruch is don't make this implication. All it means there to say is that don't think you can be yotzei with shemeya ko'ine when someone else reads the words.
But it's obviously here that the person who's reading it is reading from a sage.
Not necessarily.
No, yeah, the Kriya is like not better than a Rebbeinu Shalayla.
Okay, maybe. Let's assume that you're right. Okay, let's assume you're right.
The aura on Steinrich would be at the dark once she says that.
You can be yoytzeh with shemir. Here's the Torah.
Yeah,
Nikra. Yoytzeh with shemir. That's a din of shemir. Every area of halacha has its own standards. Every area of halacha has its own standards for shemir koine. So here he wants to suggest when it comes to the halacha, when you write a sefer Torah and you have to read the words before you write. There is no such thing as Shemea Ko'ine. By the way, that's one of the common answers how we have 600,000 letters in the Sefer Torah. Because in our Sefer Torah, how many words are there? 300,885? I think, something like that. How many words are there? How many letters are there in the Sefer Torah? It's about 300,885, something like that. So that's only half. So one of the common answers given is that when the Sefer, he writes the Sefer Torah, he has an obligation to read the words. So built into the writing of the Sefer Torah is his amira, are the words that come out of his mouth. That also counts as a letter. There's an invisible letter that corresponds to every physical letter. The invisible letter is the amira, is the words that comes out of the words of the mouth of the Sefer. You know, it creates an entirely whole new, this halacha creates a whole new dimension in the value of the Sefer Torah. It's not just enough to have an artist write a Sefer Torah, have a robot write a Sefer Torah. Right? You turn on the robot, L'shem Shemayim. You know, just like you have doing the hides, if you turn on the machine matzah, think about it. Why can't you have a Sefer Torah written by a robot? If you have machine matzah, right, you have machine matzah's kosher. I didn't do anything. Today, even the machine matzah is not really machine matzah, because the machine matzah, the mechudik of machine matzah, there are the people that are actually participating in many parts of the process in order that it should not be 100% machine. But let's talk about pure machine matzah. You press the button, and that's it. The matzah comes out of the other end of the machine. So why is it good? Because you turn on the machine, l'shem shemayim. It's good. So why can't you write a Sefer Torah like that?
The word write implies a man's doing it.
Making matzah implies a man is kneading the dough. What's the difference? Obviously it's not. It's unheard of what I'm saying. It's total nonsense. But now you know they have the soot screen, thing.
So what happens when there's a Korean exib?
Yeah.
So it's pronounced different. Does he pronounce it the way he's writing it or the way...
Very good question. I don't know the answer. Maybe he talks about it. I don't know the answer. Because you have to write it the correct way. So the purpose of saying it, obviously, but you see, I don't know the answer. Similarly, you say it the way it's pronounced, the Cree, not the Ksif, and you write it the other way. Obviously, it seems that there is an additional dimension of Kedusha that is injected into the Sefer Torah through the one who actually says it, the one who's writing it, which creates a whole new dimension of who's writing your Sefer Torah. I have the most fantastic artist. He's unbelievable. And guess what? He has Ksav Kabbalah. He took all the exams. He's an outstanding. He knows the material. But what does he do on his off hours after the bell rings and it's 5 o'clock? Well, let's say he works late hours. So he leaves the office 9 o'clock. What does he do? He goes to the movies. He does things that are questionable. Okay, things that are questionable that you're not very comfortable with. So, do you really want him writing your Sefer Torah? Listen, he's a Shomer Shabbos. You can't say he's not a Shomer Shabbos. He's a good guy, and he knows the halachas, and he has an outstanding script. But you know, when he says the words in the Sefer Torah, his amira is not the same kedusha as a person who is heavily steeped in holiness. He's not a holy person. That's the fact. He's a good person. You know, he's a Shomer Torah mitzvahs. But he's not a holy person. You see that saying the words adds an entirely new dimension to the kedusha of the sefer. I tell you this story. This is one of my favorite stories about Safras, about this fellow I know. I knew this fellow. So he works in computers. He lives in Eretz Yisrael. He's a very big Talmid Chacham. He's a very fine person, and he's in computers for the first 13 years after he got married. He was a sefer. Right away, he needed a parnasa. He went into Safras. And he was an exceptional sefer. He told me, I think he wrote a few Sefer Torah, filled in, he wrote everything. He did it all. And he told me he was in America for a simcha, family simcha, and I was schmoozing with him. He told me that he has now a boy that's 12 years old, and he has to buy for him tefillin. So I said to him, so what's the big deal? You wrote so many pairs of tefillin. You did this for so many years. So he says, I'm not in it anymore. I don't feel comfortable writing tefillin for my son because I haven't done it already for 5 years. I'm out of it.
Because of the talent or because of the...
No, he's just not, you know, when you write tefillin, he's not the focus. He's not impressive. He wrote Sefer Torah, but he's done this. He did this in many, many years. And he left this parnasa. He went into computers because he could not make a good parnasa. So he left it. He's just not comfortable doing it when he has not done this. He's rusty. He's not comfortable doing the other for 5 years. So I said to him, okay, but you know you're in the business, you know who are all the mumchen. When you're in the business, you know who the real players are. Yeah. So he says, that's the problem. That's the problem. I know who they are, and I, the dafka, don't want to buy from them because everyone, the whole world, they have a line, 2 years, waiting list. 2 year waiting list to get this person's tefillin. I wouldn't buy tefillin for my child myself if my life depended on it, because I know the fellow, and it's not like I know it's for the world. It's one thing, but when you're on the inside, you know things that you should not know.
Always.
So I said, so what are you going to do? So he says he knows this young guy. He's in his upper 20s, and he's ksav. It's not the best. It's pretty good. It's okay. It's pretty good. I'm going to use him. I said, why? Listen to this. He says, he's still a Yorei Shemayim.
He didn't burn out.
Exactly. Exactly. His what didn't burn out? His Yorei Shemayim didn't burn out. That's why he's selecting this person to write for his own son. Isn't that amazing? It speaks volumes. This story, it really speaks volumes. The guy is a smart guy. He's still a Yorei Shemayim. I'm going to take him. Even though his ksav is not the best. Better that. What really counts? What really counts when you write a parent's film? It's not just the artwork. It's the kavana. And you see here, this halacha, the dimension that when you have to write, you have to say the words. When you ain't a doimer, a person who's a bitam machachem, a yore shemayim, who says the words, that also gives kedusha to the oisias of the Sefer Torah, compared to a person who just, you know, he's saying the words, and he's thinking about the episode on television he saw last night, what the plot, what's going to be continued. You know, it's a whole different frame of mind. It's a whole different frame of mind. When you are.
How does that have an effect on someone who's reading the Torah or something that brought up the Torah? Has no effect.
It does have an effect. We have to have a moon, that it does have an effect. That when you have a Sefer Torah that's written by a very holy person, and the Baal Kri is also, yeah, no, the Baal Kri also has a responsibility. Right. Okay, some Baal Kri, you know, some shuls, you know, it's the right thing that a Baal Kri should go to mikvah. I mean, I don't have to, but I want to have him somewhere. If you do something for the tzibur, you know, especially of a choshev tzibur, people who are talmidei chacham, the yerushman, the koyel, people in learning, and you are being moitzi them with kriyas haTorah, you should feel a responsibility to be on a level. You know, to be on a level, because if you're doing something holy and whatever, we don't know how these things work. No one knows how these things work. Everything contributes. Who wrote the Sefer Torah? The Kiddush of the Sefer Torah, the one who's learning the Sefer Torah, the preparation that would involve. What are they thinking? All of these things contribute to having a religious experience that will have an impact upon your neshama and on your guf as well. Okay, let's go further. So we over here, middle of this paragraph Vav, the lecker, we are in the middle of them. I'm a little confused. Let's start from Varaya. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 lines down in Ois Vav. Varaya, Shrei Moshe Rabbeinu Lo Yotzei B'Kriyas Shalakadosh Baruch Hu, period. Av Mokam Deleka Kriyas Acher. Okay, he writes, but in the situation where no one is reading it for you, so he wants to suggest that even in Simon Lama days, Pshita, Shetzorech Likroi Bi'atzmo Gam Kishakosei Mitoich HaKsav, even when you're writing from a piece of paper, even when it comes to tefillin, even that's really what the Mechaber means in Sim Lama Beis. The Ein Lishol, the Im Lamanu Moshe, the Nitzarach Kriya Acher.
Kriya
Acher. If we're learning from Moshe, so Hashem spoke. So just like Hashem was the one who spoke, so maybe we should require every Sefer to have someone read the words for him. That will cause the price of tefillin to double. Every Sefer is going to need someone to read the words too. You can imagine how much it's going to cost. V'gam Kriya Atzmo K'mo B'Moshe. The Einai came. The Kriyas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hoysa B'Herach, that was something that was a technicality. The fact that Hashem had to read to Moshe Rabbeinu was not something which we learn in Halacha.
Hashem reads it to you, though. Maybe he also implants it into your brain at the same time. So you won't make the...
We'll make a mistake. Oh, maybe. The Imloi came, Lo Hoyo Dea Moshe Malichlef, right? Kriyas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kibitech HaSefer. When Hashem read it, that's the equivalent to us looking into a tikkun. Avul Kriyas Atzmoi B'chol Mokoi Ma'akev. He is coming out with the maskana that you always, a sofer, must always read the word. Again, the only thing I'm wondering about is why don't you see by a hachnosa sefer Torah, you don't.
Afterwards, then.
Does it again.
He goes over it
and he says it.
Does
the
count letters like in Aleppo, you know, they have a letter count on each row or something? That's a letter check.
What?
Does he count the letters?
Who count the letters?
The sofer, at the end of the row. Does he
well, they do better, they do a computer check. They do a computer check.
It's not at the end of the road, it's the end of the column.
So it's the same thing. I mean, they check it. As he does it, I told you, they check it. As you're writing, you check it. Every single row, I don't know exactly what every cipher does. I told you, the average cipher, I was told, makes an average of 30 spelling mistakes in the Sefer Torah. That's the average. Even though they're copying Mila Mila, okay, 30 spelling mistakes. That's the average. And then you give it to a bodek, you give it to a human being to check, they'll always find about 29. That's the mitzvahs. They're professionals. Al pi halacha, even with the shulchan, you have to do it three times. You have to has to be reviewed three times before it goes into production. Three times. Rolls the paskins that you have a computer. Computer check, you only do one. Only you need to do it once. It's not really because they charge a lot of money. How much do they charge to check the safe from beginning to end? I think it's like $200.
Yeah, do it more.
It's a lot of money. So you do give it to have it checked three times. That's $900 at least.
$50,000 for the Torah. $1,000.
Everything adds up. You know, every dollar, yeah, everything adds up. The checking adds up. The Atzer Chaim adds up. The mandel adds up. The keser adds up. The ceremony, the party. How much it costs to make the party? To make a party costs easy $10,000. To make a suda for the shul, that alone, the whole things are only cost $30,000-$40,000, and the whole catering bill for making the affair with the truck and the music. And the part of the suda can easily cost $10,000-$15,000.
I mean, before I the site that checks went out before there was computers. You see how they check?
They just gobble it up.
It's unbelievable.
They gobble it up like
ashray.
Yeah. So I was told this. Yeah, I was told. I took the course seriously. They told us then. It's supposed to, everybody probably changed it because it was many years ago. He says there are three. It's a business in Eretz Yisrael. People specialize in this. They make parnasa. There are three madrigot. There is Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. $100, $200, $300. For $100, the guy will read up your Sefer Torah so fast. $100.
I thought he was being guiled.
He'll read up the Sefer Torah so fast, in a blink of an eye, within two...
He was going like this, and he was putting clips on spots, and then he went over to...
Your son could probably do it like that. Moshe could probably do it like that.
I mean, I wouldn't say, I don't know.
Close,
he's
I think so.
Would he notice spellings?
Yeah, so then there's Madrega 2, it's $200. And then there's the third level, they go a little bit slower, it's $300. So he says, he says the guy who does it for $100, you'd be shocked out of your mind to get to know that he can pick up also 29 mistakes.
Pick up split letters.
He can pick up 29 mistakes. The guy for 300 certainly will pick up 29 mistakes. That's what the parnasa, and this is the professionals. But even the best of the best will always miss one.
Yeah.
They'll always miss one. And the one that they miss is what you need the computer for.
Right.
And the computer will catch that one mistake, and then, but it says, even with
the computer make mistakes?
Well, Michael's. Michael with an L. So he demonstrated. He explained. He says there are three different today. There are three different
softwares.
Three different programs that are used by all the society from today to check. They're all very different. The technique that is developed. Each one, they probably had hundreds of thousands of dollars in the development and how to do it. They're all very different. He prefers this particular piece of software, and he showed us. It was very, very fascinating how it works. Basically, it collects every single letter in the whole Sefer Torah, and it presents all the letters to the soul. It presents all the questionable alephs. It'll present you here all of the olives that the computer has detected are questionable. All of the bases, all of the gimels. And he has to go through every single one. Something you have a lot he showed us. And he has to paskin. He has to decide. And that's just and that's this particular piece of software. And there are other versions of software. I thought there was a mice of the Vada Mishmer Stam. They have their own. They have developed their own. They probably spent an enormous amount of money developing the sort of technology, and they wanted a monopoly. They basically wanted to put everyone out of business. No one should be allowed to say anything about it, and they wanted to centralize. Well, they have a Milo, their software is that it's not done on your computer. When they give you the software, you connect online, and when you scan it, it's automatically transmitted to Eretz Yisrael online instantly. And the mainframes there, the Vavishmer Stam, are doing the checking, and that's why there's like no it's cloud. It's made they're ahead of their time. It's like cloud software. Basically, like what Microsoft is now first doing now, everything's in the cloud is what they were doing around 10 years ago. It's like 10 years ago, but the idea behind cloud, they were ahead of their time, and they have the advantage. Oh, once it's going, we know about every single day. They have total control. Since every time you scan a mezuzah, it's being sent automatically to the mainframe in Eretz Yisrael, they have a record of every single mezuzah, every single peritone, every single sector in the whole world. It's amazing. And they have a monopoly. And they know all the cipher. The technology just gets more and more advanced. They are, and then by itself, they can start comparing one to another and figuring out who's the cipher, who's this, who's that. And then they were taken to a din Torah. They were taken to a din Torah that people also want to make parnasa. We also want to develop. We also want to go sell a software. People, not everyone wants to go use this software. They want to use my software, this, that. And they lost the din Torah. And they were devastated. They lost the din Torah. The Dayanu said, you cannot have a monopoly over this. You have no right to enforce this. And they suffered a lot because of that. Their whole the organization took a big bite when they lost that din Torah. And now that's why Yanu be a threat. I don't think he does use the Vamish Meristan software, or Michael. He uses other piece of software. Everyone has their preference. All right, let's go further. Oy zayin, yesh aymer de mukach yushami dim kasav shlem laksav de ein likroy spoil lechatchila im loy b'shas atchak ad kadei kach. It says in the Yushalmi that if you don't read the word before you write the letters in the Sefer Torah, you're not allowed to use the Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah is puzzle. It's not a kosher safe. Who's going to know, right? Who's going to be able? The computer can't tell you this. That's why you need a service of Yerush Shemayim.
How do you know he read every single word?
That's right. How do you know? So you have to trust.
Human, he can't.
That's right. You don't know. You have to trust. You have to have a safe. Who's a Yerush Shemayim? You really don't know. When you buy a Sefer Torah, you really don't know a lot of things. So yesh the mukach the bishami the mkasa shalom hazav the ein likra spell the chatil the ein loy b'shas hatchak the yesh some say the kremel the chatil some say no the chatil you can read the ein zeh ma'akev it's not ma'akev it's okay the yesh lochavi raya gam the rambam shloi chashav zeh be'absum the rambam does not list this as part of the psulim the chaynim loy amar kol tevim be'befiv ein zeh ma'akev b'diavad v'raya sharei ches psukim ha'achrayim b'shem b'tara lo chayim moshe chosham be'pif Kivusham the Gemara Shema Minosh of Yevon in the Ikov, the last eight psukim Moshe did not repeat. The Gemara says he wrote it the Dema. Moshe did not say that of Vayomashon Moshe. Moshe is still alive. There's no way Moshe can write Vayomashon Moshe. Moshe died. He didn't die yet. So it's Bedema. So different Moshe, different that is a Dava Shulichal Yitzchak Lam. Lo Yilam Vasim Yitzel Lam Kolak Vayomiyot. So the eight psukim at the end of Tetzaro get good. So Leila, the whole Torah will be good, even if you do not read the words. Oischas, Sarach Shakol, Oistia, Mukefes Gvil. Every letter must have parchment on all four sides. The Arab, if you write a letter that goes all the way down to the edge of the parchment, puzzle, because you have to have parchment surround every letter, every single part of the letter. Shloi Tidbak, another halacha, another also, the letters are attached. Letters are attached as puzzle. Do not separate them too much. I lane a few weeks ago, it was my turn to lane. And this guy, he made a whole issue that the letters, a new Sefer Torah, the letters in this world are too far apart. I told him, I don't know what you're talking about. It looks fine to me. Don't even bother. Don't even make an issue of this. No, the letters and the word are too far apart. All right, so he made an issue. He went and called over the Rashiva, and the Rashiva says, oh, so what are you talking about? What are you having? It's fine. But the letters between the letters and the word should not be too far apart. Ela nirias kishtayim, yebein teva leteva, kim loy ois katana, we had this before. Velo yikarvim b'yoysa, the word should not be too close together. Shlo yishnei tevos nirias kachas, vim shina tshirchik asai oysos, at shateva nirias kishnayim, puzzle. If they're too close, too far apart, they're puzzle. This is one of the things that you can ask a child. You can ask a child to make a determination. If it looks like two words or one word, you can ask him to read and see what he does, and that will be a determination.
Are the columns standardized or what?
Yes, today they are. Today they are. We learned this before. We learned this a few days ago. No, not really. It says over here, it says that it should be three times the word, which is really 27 letters, which the Yed contradiction, the Rambam says, which is 30 letters. So what is it? 30 letters or 27 letters? So it's somewhere in between.
But the stall can be big letters, you know what I mean?
Right. So the stall can be big letters, wider, smaller, so that until modern times, it was not standardized. Exactly the point. Until modern times, ish hayosher be'einav yasa. You do whatever you want. It's only in recent times, we mentioned that the person, one of the people that was instrumental in standardizing Sefer Torah, his name was Rabbi Davidovich. Some pronounce it Davidowitz. Davidovich, he was nifted within, there's still sitting shiva for him. He died only a few days ago, and he was 85 years old. He was one person who was very instrumental in standardizing our Sifrei Torah today. Every time you get an aliyah, every pair of tefillin or mezuzah you purchase has his mark, because he was instrumental in the pay we mentioned. He says that he was the one who really rallied for the change in the pay. The letter pay is made today is to his credit. And I think the Tikkun Seferim today is also to his credit. And other innovations that he did, because when he was 85 years old, years ago, was Safras wasn't so popular, he had a major part in this, as we mentioned, the Chafetz Chaim did as well. Next, the Chayin and Nidbak, Oisla, Oisla, Chayin, the Ein Kol Oismik of the Vil, in Gargin Postle, Achashesh, Hefzik, Kitsas, Af, Pachas, Mechut, Asar, Daya, even the teen, this is a very important halacha. Even the slightest hefsek is enough. That's very important, because sometimes you do find, this is a psul you do find, because the computer's not checked for this. The computers are not good with this, even today, of checking for letters that are connected or separated. Sometimes, and this, people don't know this, the secret to this is that ink expands. When they checked the Sefer Torah, when they wrote the Sefer Torah, the ink was still recent. It was dry, the ink. So it did not look like the letters were connected. After the Sefer Torah was in the Aron HaKodesh in the hot summer, 90 degrees, and there was no air conditioning in the Aron HaKodesh, it's a very big problem with Chlal, because they don't have air conditioning. Even when there is air conditioning in the shul, there's no air conditioning in the Aron HaKodesh. The Aron HaKodesh is locked up. It's locked up, and it can be very humid. There's a very big problem in many shuls with humidity in the Aron HaKodesh, because there is no circulation in the Aron HaKodesh. And then what happens is the ink expands. It swells. And it swells.
Don't they seal it? It doesn't.
What?
Don't they seal
it? No, they don't seal. Not the new Sefer Torah. The old Sefer Torah they seal, not the new Sefer Torah. And the ink, if you have a thick writing, the ink swells. It's filling. You leave your tool in the car, it's a nightmare. It's mamish a nightmare, because you leave your tool in the car, first of all, it can melt, the ink can just dissolve. And worse, the ink can expand. The heat can cause the moisture to how the letters expand, and then the letters are touching. And the letters are touching. Now the truth is, he's going to mention this later, if letters touch, like the way we described, due to a change in the environment, or the ink just swells later, it's still kosher. It's only possible if it was touching from the very beginning. When it was written, when you wrote the letters, it was touching, then it's possible. But when you, if you wrote the letters were distinct, they were not touching. And later on, due to circumstance, they now, the next day, the next hour, the next year, 20 years down the line, the Sefer Torah is in a hot shul, there's no air conditioning.
Someone checks the next day, he says it's there.
So usually they can tell. Usually an experience, that's why the people that get degrees in being a muga. A muga means an expert in checking. This is a very common expertise is when you look at two letters that are touching, that are connected, if you have experience, you can tell immediately if they became connected after it was written, or it was connected from the time that it was written. 99% of the time, letters that are connected became connected at a later point in time due to temperature, or due to a defect in the ink. The ink was not mixed well, and then at some point in time the ink got swollen and it got connected to the next letter. In those circumstances, it's kosher. You do not need to take out a new Sefer Torah on Shabbos, or even during the week, you do not need to take out a new Sefer Torah. So the chayin in nidvak oisla ois ve'in ve'in kol ois ve'in ve'in gam hipos ka'ak shesh ha'hef sektsas epochas mechur asara dayel. וכן בין טבע לטבע, כשרק יש הפסק צס, אף שאין ההפסק כמו לאויס קטן, in אך תינק, here's where you can use a child. There are not that many situations where you can use a child. People are ignorant, they think anytime there's a psul, that's totally not true. Anytime there's a psul, I'll ask a child. It's ridiculous. You only ask a child in very limited situations. Let's say you have a question, is it a yud or a vav?
Right.
If it's a little bit too long. So then you ask a child to determine if it's a yud or a vav. But if the letter is clearly puzzle, if the top of the shin is not connected to the bottom of the shin or anything like that, there's nothing to talk about. Even if you ask a child and he tells you that it's a shin, it's puzzle. So here, you're dealing over here with two words, and there's a question, is there enough space between the two words? Does it look like one word, does it look like two words? So this is something where a child can make a determination. Achim, tinek d'leichochim le'tibosh karim b'shtei teves, dayo. Avol, ima tinek karim teve achas pasuk, afapish teva harishon b'sayim b'mem, stuma. Interesting scenario. You have a first word, and the first word concludes with a mem stuma. So the mem stuma clearly indicates that's the end of the word. So just so if together you would say that if the next word is less than the proper amount of space, so what? Since it's a mem stuma, it's the end of a word. You only have a mem stuma, an end mem, the end of the word. So then if it's less than the proper amount of space, it should be good. Nevertheless, pasul, it is pasul. The havana in a moil bazaar, the aksiva tsuchlios, kiroi, kimo, divuk, ois, for ois, it has to be the proper amount of space no matter what, even if you have an end mem. Av shenika, sheshne ois, yos, heim, mem, posel, hochnami, keinu, that's the way it's supposed to be. This is a side point, it's not really relevant, it's just a curious thing, is that in the Keter Aram Tsoiva, the Aleppo Codex, the postic, lemarbe hamisra. Lemar be hamisra is spelled with lemar. The mem of lemar be lema is an end mem. We all know that. Okay, that's the haftorah, I believe, of Parshas. Which haftorah is that? I always forget. Parshas Yisro, probably not. Okay, I don't know. One of the haftorahs lemar be we read from Yeshaya, Parashas Perates. Lemar be it's not Yisro. Lemar be hamisra. It's referring to, as far as Vayishlach, I think it's Vayishlach, maybe Vayishlach, the Melech HaMashiach. So it says the Lamarbe HaMishra, the abundance of authority. The word Lamarbe is spelled, there's a tradition in the Torah, that you spell it with an end mem. You don't spell with a regular mem. That's what it says, that's the Torah. So in all of the Nevi'im, in all of the Chumashim, it's spelled with an end mem. And there is no blank space after the mem and the resh, after the mem comes the resh. In the Aleppo Codex, this is shocking, in the Aleppo, and that's how they do it, those who use the Aleppo Codex, which is 50% of the Machloikis, if you should follow the Aleppo Codex for the Vim, there is a blank space after the mem. Lamed, mem, blank space, resh, lemar, beis, hey. There is a blank space after the en mem. Isn't that amazing? It's one word. It's one word, but being that it has an end mem, you automatically have a blank space after the mem before you go to the next letter, which indicates that an end letter doesn't just mean an end letter. An end letter has territory. It includes empty space after the end letter, even if an end letter appears in the middle of a word, which only does in one place, in Lamar Be Hamisra. That's how it appears in the Aleppo Codex. And those people today who write Nevi'im based upon the Aleppo Codex, which is the advice of Chaim Kanievsky, he is of the opinion that you should write the Nevi'im today exactly the way we find in the Aleppo Codex. It's the best Mesir that we have. That's what they do. But half of the population does not follow the Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Fire Rav Yashiv, Zeichas HaLevrach, who says that you should not write the Nevi'im today like the Aleppo Codex. You should write the Nevi'im like tradition. Like you have in the Aron Kodesh and all of the old shuls, and then they do not have that blank space. There is no blank space after Lamar, after it just goes, it's just one word. Okay, so it's really 50-50 what to do if you're buying a seven Nevi'im, which cost about $80,000. There are about 400 columns in a complete set of Nevi'im. There are 240 columns in a set of in a Sefer Torah, so it's a little bit less than double. So it's basically the cost of Nevi'im is almost double the cost of a Sefer Torah. It's quite an investment to buy for a shul a whole set of Nevi'im. It's almost double the price of a Sefer Torah. So you have a very big dilemma: should you order a Nevi'im that looks like the Aleppo Codex, or should you order a Nevi'im that look like the traditional set that they have for 1,000 years in all of the shuls. That's a very big dilemma. In the 1980s, this was a very heated debate. There were big machlokes among a lot of people about this issue, about the Aleppo Codex, if that should be the new stin. Now you don't hear about it altogether, but it appears to be 50-50. I know Chaim Berlin, they bought a set.
The first time it's Yisro.
What? Yisro? I know Chaim Berlin, they bought as a gift. They bought as a gift for Avram Fuchtheimer. They bought a whole set. His friends got together. What could you give the man that has it all? So they bought in his honor. They bought in the Yeshiva. The Yeshiva has a lot. I don't know why they didn't. They had a lot of old sets. They have multiples. They have duplicates of many of the Nevi'im, but they bought a brand new set of Nevi'im in his honor. And I don't think they knew what they were doing. They just ordered it, and they ended up getting the Aleppo Codex version. The Aleppo Codex version, and the Baal Kriya was very confused because he was seeing things that he never saw before. And one of the things that he never saw before was this: Lemarbe Hamisra have a blank space after the mem. Ois test. Vitzarach Lizoher. Okay, it's very late already. Let's stop now. We'll take a short break.